नमः ओम विष्णु पादाय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति विकास स्वामिनिति नामिने। नमः ओम विष्णु पादाय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे वंचाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैता गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। सो विल रीड फ्रॉम द इंट्रोडक्शन टू श्री चैतन्य चरितामृता दैट वी हैव बीन डूइंग, बट बिकॉज we have had some gap in the last few weeks, we'll try to continue from where we stopped. Let's see. All right. So this is Srila Prabhupada. This is actually made from this is a transcript of Srila Prabhupada's lectures that he gave, a series of 5 lectures on Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. I think the first of his lectures on this book back in 1966 actually, I think. So we'll go back and read one paragraph from that we read last time. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu informs us that in every country and in every scripture there is some hint of love of Godhead. But no one knows what love of Godhead actually is. The Vedic scriptures, however, are different in that they can direct the individual in the proper way to love God. Other scriptures do not give information on how one can love God, nor do they actually define or describe what or who Godhead actually is. Although they officially promote love of Godhead, they have no idea how to execute it. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives a practical demonstration of how to love God. Excuse me, can you please, not talk? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives a practical demonstration of how to love God in a conjugal relationship. Taking the part of Srimati Radharani, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tried to love Krishna as Radharani loved him. Krishna was always amazed by Radharani's love. How does Radharani give me such pleasure? He would ask. In order to study Radharani, Krishna lived in her role and tried to understand himself. This is the secret of Lord Chaitanya's incarnation. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, but he has taken the mood and role of Radharani to show us how to love Krishna. Thus the author writes in the 5th verse, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord who is absorbed in Radharani's thoughts. So these verses that are being mentioned, they are the beginning first few verses of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, also called the Mangala Acharan actually. Krishnadas Kavidas Goswami explains in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Mangala Acharan actually has 3 purposes. It talks about Vastu Nirdesh, then Namaskar and Ashirvad. So Vastu Nirdesh is what explaining or defining what is the topic of the discussion that is going to follow. Then Namaskar is offering obeisances and paying homage and respects to all the previous exalted devotees and all the different incarnations of the Lord. And then Ashirvad refers to giving benedictions or to the people who are going to read or hear these scriptures basically. So what are they going to gain by that? So even if you go back to the Srimad Bhagavatam, we will see that at the end of every chapter there is some benediction that anybody who hears this discussion, like Lord Shiva's prayers are there, so anybody who hears this he will always be liberated from the material clutches, or like that there are some benedictions offered at the end of every chapter. So like that. So this brings up the question of who Srimati Radharani is and what Radha Krishna is. Actually, Radha Krishna is the exchange of love, but not ordinary love. Krishna has immense potencies, of which 3 are principal: the internal, the external, and the marginal potencies. In the internal potency, there are 3 divisions: Samvit, Haladini, and Sandhini. The Haladini potency is Krishna's pleasure potency. All living entities have this pleasure seeking potency, for all beings are trying to have pleasure. This is the very nature of the living entity. At present, we are trying to enjoy our pleasure potency by means of the body in the material condition. By bodily contact, we are attempting to derive pleasure from material sense objects. But we should not entertain the nonsensical idea that Krishna, who is always spiritual, also tries to seek pleasure on this material plane. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes the material universe as a non-permanent place full of miseries. Why then would he seek pleasure in matter? He is the super soul, the supreme spirit, and his pleasure is beyond the material conception. It's just a small point, you know, like, so the three energies of Krishna, they are classified into external energy, internal energy, and marginal energy. So internal energy is what constitutes the spiritual world, kingdom of God, you know, Vaikuntha planets and Vrindavan, Goloka Vrindavan, all of those places, they are completely made of spirit. There is no matter there. It's only internal energy of Krishna that is acting there. Then the external world, the material universes that are there, they are all the demonstration of Krishna's external energy, basically. Bahiranga Shakti. And the spiritual world is called Antaranga Shakti. And then after that there are the intermediate or marginal potency, which are the living beings, all the spirit souls, all the atmas. They are the marginal potency of Krishna because in Sanskrit it is called Tatastha Shakti. Tatastha means, Tat means the bank, you know, of the ocean or the river. Bank is there. So bank can sometimes be covered with the water and sometimes not be covered by water. Like the tide is there, so it is covered by water. When the tide goes back, it is not covered by water. So Tatastha Shakti means Tatastha, those who are situated at the boundary. So they have a choice, you know, they can make a choice whether we want to be in the internal, in the spiritual world, or we want to be in the material world. So that is a definition of the Atma, the spiritual, the spirit soul. And also we know that the spirit soul is made up of Satchidananda. Krishna's name is also Satchidananda, is there, Satchidananda Vigraha. All the spirit souls, they are made of the same quality, the same things. Satchidananda Vigraha. Sat means eternity, Chit means knowledge, and Ananda means happiness or bliss, basically. Satchidananda. So these three, the divisions of internal potency that we read, Samvit, Ladini and Sandhini, these are actually the same thing which translate into Satchid and Ananda. So that Prabhupada just explained that Ladini potency is a pleasure potency, that is Ananda. Then there is Samvit and Sandhini. So Samvit means that knowledge is there, that Vitti Ved. So Ved, that word comes from that, Samvit. And then Sandhini is that eternal aspect, that it exists eternally. The soul is eternal in quality. Alright. To learn how Krishna enjoys pleasure, we must study the first 9 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. And then we should study the 10th canto, in which Krishna's pleasure potency is displayed in his pastimes with Radharani and the damsels of Vraja. Unfortunately, unintelligent people turn at once to the sports of Krishna in the Dasham Skandha, the 10th canto. Krishna's embracing Radharani or his dancing with the cowherd girls in the Rasa dance are generally not understood by ordinary men, because they consider these pastimes in the light of mundane lust. They foolishly think that Krishna is like themselves and that he embraces the gopis just as an ordinary man embraces a young girl. Some people thus become interested in Krishna because they think that his religion. Some people thus become interested in Krishna because they think that his religion allows indulgence in sex. This is not Krishna bhakti, love of Krishna, but prakrat sahajiya, materialistic lust. So this is anybody who is coming from India, you know, they will have this experience. That in India, even nowadays, you know, even now things are so degraded, but still in most of the towns, you know, the smaller towns, they have many times a year they hold this Bhagavat Saptah. They do, you know, there will be some park or some place where they will put a tent like that or like that, and there will be people, there will be speakers on Bhagavatam coming, and people of the locality and nearby, they will come to hear the Bhagavat Saptah. But again, you know, the practice is, they won't really talk about the any other philosophical aspects. They will immediately jump into the 10th canto. You know, they will talk about little bit of Bal Leela and other things, you know. But then most of the discussion is about the gopis, basically Krishna and the gopis. And none of those people, neither the speaker nor the audience, none of them is qualified to understand the 10th canto. That's why Srila Prabhupada, even in his introduction to the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the preface or introduction, Prabhupada very clearly says that when reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, one should proceed very sequentially, very cautiously and sequentially, right from the beginning. First canto, second canto, third canto, like that. You cannot jump. 10th canto is said to be the face of Lord Krishna, and first two cantos are the lotus feet of Krishna. So, that is a method of taking darshan also of Lord Krishna, that we first take darshan of his lotus feet, and then we, you know, slowly look forward, look upwards, basically. So that's the method, that's the principle, that's the process. To avoid such mistakes, we should understand what Radha Krishna actually is. Radha and Krishna display their pastimes through Krishna's internal energy. The pleasure potency of Krishna's internal energy is a most difficult subject matter. And unless one understands what Krishna is, one cannot understand it. Krishna does not take any pleasure in this material world, but he has a pleasure potency. Because we are part and parcel of Krishna, the pleasure potency is within us also. But we are trying to exhibit that pleasure potency in matter. Krishna, however, does not make such a vain or incorrect or wrong attempt. The object of Krishna's pleasure potency is Radharani. Krishna exhibits his potency as Radharani and then engages in loving affairs with her. In other words, Krishna does not take pleasure in his external energy but exhibits his internal energy, his pleasure potency as Radharani, and then enjoys with her. Thus Krishna manifests himself as Radharani in order to enjoy his internal pleasure potency. Of the many extensions, expansions and incarnations of the Lord, this pleasure potency is the foremost and chief. So just reading this, something comes to my mind. Many of you here, you know, who are connected to Hare Krishna a long time may already have heard this pastime. But there is one pastime, and I don't know, it's not in the Bhagavatam, it is told by our acharyas, that the gopis in Vrindavan, they heard that there is one great sadhu, great saint has come, he's visiting Vrindavan, but he's on the other side of Yamuna, he's sitting in somewhere under a tree on the other side of the Yamuna, and I think the name that is mentioned is Durvasa Muni only, but I don't know whether it is the same Durvasa Muni that is famous or another one, I am not sure of that. So the gopis, you know, that in the old times it was understood by everyone that the topmost duty, the best thing anybody can do, is to serve holy people, saintly people. So the gopis, immediately they want to, you know, do some service to him. So they get together, they make lots of nice large preparations, you know, for prasadam for him, for Durvasa Muni. And after making them, they, you know, carry all of them and they come to the bank of Yamuna to cross the river and offer it to the sage. But unfortunately they find that the Yamuna is, you know, it is got lot very wide at that point of time, you know, it's like whatever the season is, lot of water and there is no boat to cross. So they are not sure what to do, how to get to the other side, you know, they made all of this effort but now they are stuck. Then suddenly Krishna, and they see that Krishna is there in that area. So Krishna asks, what are you doing? Have you brought all of this thing for me? So they say, no, this is for Durvasa Muni. You know? So Krishna says, okay, you want to go there. So they say, can you help? So Krishna says, okay, yeah, I can give you a secret mantra. If you say that secret mantra, then you will be able to cross the Yamuna, just walk through it like that. So they say, what's the mantra? So Krishna says that the mantra is that Krishna is a lifelong brahmachari. You know, Krishna has never, you know, had any interaction with any opposite sex like that. So he's a nitya eternal brahmachari. So though when the gopis hear that, you know, because gopis and Krishna, they have this intimate exchange always, you know. So gopis, you know, they can't stop themselves and they start laughing that what is this kind of joke. Krishna says, you know, it's up to you whether to believe me or not. It's up to you. You can try that mantra if you want to. So they go come to the bank of the Yamuna and they say that mantra, and suddenly all of a sudden the Yamuna parts, you know, and it gives them away. So they are very much surprised and shocked, but they said, okay, that's great, it worked. So they walked across and they went to Durvasa Muni, and they had huge quantity, so many gopis they had, everybody had prepared so many preparations, so a huge feast it was. And they offered all to Durvasa Muni, you know, and Durvasa Muni, he was happy. He said, he ate everything. He finished everything. Like something that would have maybe good enough for 100 people, he finished all of it just by himself. So the gopis were happy, satisfied, and Durvasa Muni was satisfied, you know. So then after that, the gopis, they wanted to go back, you know, but again the Yamuna is there blocking the way. So they asked Durvasa Muni, can you help us? How can we please cross Yamuna? No, so Durvasa Muni said, okay, I can give you a secret mantra. If you chant that mantra, you can cross. So he said, what is that mantra? So Durvasa Muni gives something. He says the mantra that meant is that Durvasa Muni is fasting today. He is not eating anything today. So gopis are like shocked, you know, what? So much we brought, he has eaten everything and he's saying he's fasting today. So anyway, they say their mantra and then again the Yamuna parts and they cross like that, you know. So it's like quite funny, but it's also, that's why our philosophy of Lord Chaitanya and our Gaudiya Vaishnava parampara is Achintya Veda Veda Tattva, you know, this, everything is inconceivably, simultaneously one and different. So there is nothing really black and white in any proper understanding. I mean, there's some things are there that, you know, that Jiva and Krishna, they are not equal at all, that's black and white. That is true. But otherwise in spiritual understanding, it is almost never black and white. It is so many different angles of understanding, shades of understanding like that. And unless we get to that point where, you know, this kind of revelation we receive from the Lord, unless we get there, unless we get to that point, it's very difficult to make sense, and we'll always see contradictions in the scriptures and in the behavior of devotees and things like that. We'll see these contradictions. But if once we understand this Achintya Bheda Bhed principle, then we can stay at ease, not get discouraged or confused by so many different things, you know. Scriptures are saying so many different things, you know. Sometimes they seem to be contradictory to each other. Devotees sometimes behave like, you know, non-devotees, or sometimes they do bad things, sometimes they do good things, you know. So sometimes we get too much influenced by the current situation like that. So normally 7:30, 7:40, the devotees, kirtan groups come back. So we'll stop at that point of time. Little bit, we can read a little bit more. It is not that Radharani is separate from Krishna. Radharani is also Krishna, for there is no difference between the energy and the energetic. So again, like another thing I keep repeating oftentimes, that Srila Prabhupada, whenever he speaks, whenever Prabhupada opens his mouth, he may, whatever, you know, other people don't understand this, but at least we who are his followers, we understand that Prabhupada, whatever he says only exactly according to scriptures. He does not say anything of his own concoction. And that is the qualification of an acharya. Acharya means who strictly follows the Guru Shishya Parampara, Guru Parampara, and speaks very clearly, strictly according to the Vedic knowledge and Vedic tradition, basically. So, the statement of Srila Prabhupada that Radharani is also Krishna, for there is no difference between the energy and the energetic. This is, I think it's a Vedic, It's the Vedic says that Shakti Shakti Mayor Abheda. Abheda, there is one, you know, Vedanta Sutra, I think it is there. Shakti Shakti Mateor Mateor Abheda. There is no difference between the energy and energetic. So Prabhupada gives the example, the sun is there and the sunlight is there. Sunlight is the energy of sun. So sun is the energetic and sunlight is the energy. You know, but without sunlight there is no meaning to sun. You know, and sunlight cannot exist without the sun. So they are inseparable actually. You know, but still they are different. So they are one. So another example, Prabhupada says that sometimes in the morning, you know, when you have windows in the room, sun, when the sun rises, you know, the sunlight will come inside the room. So you can say, oh, the sun is here. You know. So that is not wrong. The sun is here because the sunlight is here. But really the sunlight is not the same as the sun. You know. So it's right and it is not right. So that is the point of this inconceivable, simultaneously one and different. So right and not right at the same time. Without energy, there is no meaning to the energetic. And without the energetic, there is no energy. Similarly, without Radha, there is no meaning to Krishna. And without Krishna, there is no meaning to Radha. So another point, you know, normally when we talk to most especially Hindu people and Indian people and other ways also, you know, they talk about God, they simply talk about there is some power there. There is some power that is making things happen. This whole world is running under some power, you know. But we say, no, that's wrong. Power cannot exist independently. It's the same point that Prabhupada is saying here. Power cannot exist by itself. Power always belongs to the powerful. So sunlight cannot exist by itself. Heat and light cannot exist by themselves without the fire being there. So there is a source of energy and then there is the energy. So God is the energetic, is the source of energy, is not energy. Like that. That's a difference. It's very important to understand these things philosophically. So all of these people who say, you know, that there's some power is there, it is managing everything. It's not true. That is true and not true. There is a power. You know, the material energy is, this whole universe is conducted by Goddess Durga. You know, like material energy, she's the material energy of Krishna, maintaining, managing. But she is not independent. She does everything under the direction and control of Lord Krishna. So, in the Brahma Samhita, that verse is there. What is that? I forget. Yachakti rasti javana. There is one verse where it says that Goddess Durga, I offer my respectful obeisances to Lord Krishna and Govinda, under whose order the Goddess Durga conducts the material energy just as a shadow, like that. I forget the verse. What is it in Sanskrit? Because of this, the Vaishnava philosophy first of all pays obeisances to and worships the internal pleasure potency of the Supreme Lord. Thus, the Lord and His potency are always referred to as Radha Krishna, not Krishna Radha, Radha Krishna. First, Sitaram, Radha Krishna, like that. Or Hare Krishna, Hare refers to Radha Rani. Similarly, those who worship Narayana first of all utter the name of Lakshmi as Lakshmi Narayana. Similarly, those who worship Lord Ram first of all utter the name of Sita. In any case, Sita Ram, Radha Krishna, Lakshmi Narayana, the potency always comes first. So also if you hear, Prabhupada has given, you know, like what we call as a purport to the Hare Krishna mantra in the audio collections of Srila Prabhupada. There is a small 5-minute audio purport to the Hare Krishna mantra. You can hear that, and Prabhupada will explain same thing there, that the meaning of Hare, that Hare refers to the internal energy of Krishna, Hara. And in the vocative, vocative means calling out, you know, like addressing form of grammar, it turns to Hare, actually. And also that, so that Hare refers to Radharani, it refers to feminine aspect of Krishna. And we all know, if we remember, you know, if our childhood, that whenever, you know, sometimes the father is angry, children, they do sometimes some things wrong, you know, and the parents are angry, especially the father is angry, you know. So you don't approach the father directly, you approach the father through the mother, you know, so you make up with the mother first, you know. If both the parents are angry, it's much easier to, you know, make up with the mother, than the father, you know. So after the mother gets satisfied or pacified, becomes less angry, then the father, she will take care of the father, you know, like that. So that's what Prabhupada says, that, you know, the Adharani is more merciful because she is mother. So even because we have done, all of us are culprits in this material world, everybody is a prisoner, because we have all offended, we have done, you know, wrong to Krishna, we have turned away from him, our loving father. So we are all offenders, you know. So it's easier to please Radharani, you know, and then when Radharani is pleased, then she can refer or recommend us to Krishna. That's the easy way. So we have that backdoor entry. Radha and Krishna are one. And when Krishna desires to enjoy pleasure, he manifests himself as Radharani. The spiritual exchange of love between Radha and Krishna is the actual display of Krishna's internal pleasure potency. Although we speak of when Krishna desires, just when he did desire we cannot say. We only speak in this way because in conditioned life we take it that everything has a beginning. However, in spiritual life everything is absolute, and so there is no beginning nor end. So that is the meaning of eternity. Normally when we talk to other people, you know, Christians and other Hindu and other people, about, and they talk about eternity, that the soul is eternal. So normally when talk about eternity or that we are all eternal, people only think about the future. They talk about the future, that we will never die. But normally it doesn't occur to them that eternity means not only that there is no end, but there is no beginning also. You know, so that's another important point to understand. That's why the spiritual world is eternal, means ever existing. There was never a beginning, basically. It's again mind-boggling. There was no beginning ever. You know, that's why we are all always existing. But that's how it is. And that's why we have to do sadhana, to be able to purify ourselves, you know, and then to be able to understand these things, basically. With the material mind and intelligence, we cannot understand these things. Because this is spiritual matter, subject matter. In spiritual life, everything is absolute, and so there is neither beginning nor end. Yet, in order to understand that Radha and Krishna are one, and that they also become divided, the question, when, automatically comes to mind. When Krishna desired to enjoy his pleasure potency, he manifested himself in the separate form of Radharani. And when he wanted to understand himself through the agency of Radha, he united with Radharani. And that unification is called Lord Chaitanya. This is all explained by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in the fifth verse of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. In the next verse, the author further explains why Krishna assumed the form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna desired to know the glory of Radharani's love. Why is she so much in love with me? Krishna asked. What is my special qualification that attracts her so? And what is the actual way in which she loves me? It seems strange that Krishna, as a supreme, should be attracted by anyone's love. A man searches after the love of a woman because he is imperfect. He lacks something. The love of a woman, that potency and pleasure is absent in man. And therefore a man wants a woman. But this is not the case with Krishna, who is full in himself. Thus Krishna expressed surprise, why am I attracted by Radharani? And when Radharani feels my love, what is she actually feeling? To taste the essence of that loving exchange, Krishna made his appearance in the same way that the moon appears on the horizon of the sea. Just as the moon was produced by the churning of the sea, that's another confusing thing. Nowadays, if you say moon was produced by churning of the sea, nobody can understand that, basically. But that's how it mentioned in the scriptures. The moon was produced by the churning of the sea. By the churning of spiritual loving affairs, the moon of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. Indeed, Lord Chaitanya's complexion was golden, just like the luster of the moon. Although this is figurative language, it conveys the meaning behind the appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The full significance of his appearance will be explained in later chapters. The 7:41, I'll stop here. You know, if any points before, while we are waiting for the Kirtan group, you know, anybody has any things to say, we can maybe take a minute or so, but otherwise, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpa taru bhyascha kripa sindhu bhya eva cha patita naam pavane bhyo vaishnave bhyo namo namaha. We offer our respectful obeisances unto all the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord who are just like desire trees and who can fulfill all the desires of all the conditioned fallen souls and who are full of compassion for all the conditioned souls. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.